to meet Bill Bloom, a defense attorney with the firm Methvessel & Worble, and also Matt Smith with the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, who specifically is going to talk about the impact on consumers and the chilling effect that this bill would have on the investigation of fraud. Bill?
Thank you. Panel. I know some of you up there. I've been practicing with an insurance defense firm, Methvessel. I apologize. Well, I know in the courtroom, these aren't amplifying devices, but I guess it is in this room. So, but I've been practicing for 25 years in the insurance defense context, and so I've been asked to come here to speak regarding the legal implications of the proposed bill. And I think the best way to address that is to discuss the present status governing bad faith litigation for first party claims, and then to contrast it with what is being proposed, hopefully to illustrate that it really is a drastic change, drastic not only for the specific venue that we're discussing here, UMUIM, but it's a drastic change in the context, quite frankly, overall of tort law. And contract law in the state of New Jersey and in the U.S., quite frankly. So we start off with Pickett versus Lloyds, which many of you may be familiar with, and that is the governing law at this point. And I just wanted to briefly take issue with Senator Scutari, because there are two Supreme Court cases from 2012 and 2015, Wadeer and Battiali, that both clearly say that the Pickett case, the Pickett standard and analysis, does in fact apply in a UM-UIM context. So I would take issue with the assertion that as things presently stand, there is no course of action for a UM-UIM claimant. That simply is not the case. So very briefly, Pickett involves a situation where a truck driver has an accident, sustains property damage, and is seeking a recovery from his under his own insurance company for property damage claim. There is a delay in the payment of that claim, which is otherwise undefensible. And as a result of that delay, he allegedly sustains significant business loss because he's not out on the road. And what the court said in that context is that there is a cause of action for bad faith. But in order to establish a cause of action for bad faith, you have to establish not only that the insurance company's position had no reasonable basis, but also it takes another step, that basically that the insurance company knew or was willfully reckless as to the fact that they did not have a reasonable basis. And again, I
respect you a ton as your firm. This is getting too much like work up here. So
understood.
You know, understanding these are nuances, make our points. I think there's a learned group up here that has done a lot of work on this, and let's get through this.
Understand. I'm not a regular here judge. I'm not a sir, so I
God forbid.
So I move along. The upshot of all of this is number one, there is a cause of action for an insured who has allegedly been wronged by his carrier in a UM-UIM contest under the existing law. It is a law that has been consistent with years and centuries of jurisprudence, which says that we do not punish people or insurance carriers or anyone else for being negligent. If you are negligent, the response is you get consequential damages. In other words, you get the benefit of whatever injury you actually sustained as a result of not being paid in a timely manner, unreasonably. The issue we have with this bill in the UM-UIM context is, number one, it's a much lower standard than what is the state of the law. It's simply a negligence standard. But nonetheless, even though we're saying it's only a negligence standard, we're still giving damages which amount to a punishment for alleged negligent conduct. And obviously that has significant economic implications, which I will, for the insurance industry and the policyholders, which I will leave for other people. The second point I would quickly make is the provision in the bill which speaks to giving a private cause of action for a violation of the Unfair Claims Practices Act is the most, I would say, the most alarming aspect of this proposed bill, because it's taking 15 landmines, because that's its A through O in that bill, and it's creating a private cause of action for a one-off error by an insurance adjuster when it was never intended to be that. And instead of making the insurance
Really, with love and respect, please wrap it up. There's like 40 people to testify on this bill, and I could see my colleague John wanting to jump in, and I'm not going to lead an appellate argument here.
Understand.
Please, let's go.
The point being is that aspect of the bill makes the plaintiff's attorney the regulator of the insurance company vis-a-vis these unclear claim practices, alleged violations, as opposed to the agency that has the expertise to do it. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I was rude in any way.
Not at all.
You an awful lot.
Not at all. I appreciate your time. Thank you.